Good morning. Happy Monday morning. We're in it, November. We're on the last leg of this semester. Hey, one announcement today. At 4 o'clock today at the Nick Theater is the Fall Presidential Colloquium. And the speaker is going to be Scott Uhlenbach, and he's going to be speaking on our world in 2035. 7 things that will change everything. If you're interested, 4 o'clock at the Knickerbocker Theater. This month in November, every Monday, we're having something focused on human sexuality. And so we have had last week, Grace talked about just God's design for human sexuality. Today, Jen Lane, a 2000 grad at Hope College, is going to be speaking today. Jen, I had the privilege to be her chaplain, but now I had the privilege to be her peer and her friend. So glad that Jen's here today. I'm going to pray and then let you welcome Jen. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for your kindness extended to each one of us, all by grace through your son, Jesus. Thank you that Jen is here to bear testimony to that. So now, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to hear you speak directly to us through our sister, Jen. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Jen Lane?
Thank you. And thanks, Paul, for giving me the opportunity to share with you some of my story. Well, I grew up in a Christian home with wonderful Christian parents, and I accepted Christ into my life at an early age. But during my middle school and high school years, I think I really defined my faith by what I did and didn't do. So I followed all the rules. I obeyed my parents. I excelled in sports. I did well in school. I went to church every Sunday. It looked good on the outside, but on the inside, it felt empty because I was always doing to try to please someone else in my life, not God. Galatians 1:10 says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God, or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." This was a convicting verse for me. And by the end of my senior year in high school, I knew I needed to make a change from these people-pleasing patterns. But I felt trapped, and I didn't know how to change things. So college became a good way for me to break away and start new. I actually came right here to Hope College and got connected from the start with a lot of the different campus ministries programs here. I was able to make some new friends who became lifelong friends because the friendships I made here were rooted in Christ, not in people-pleasing. My 4 years here was a time of great spiritual growth for me, where I discovered what it meant to have a true relationship with Christ, how to nurture it, and how to live it out. I was a French and education major, so after graduation, I decided to spend some time studying in France, where I taught English in a French school, worked at my master's, and also worked with some missionaries. This was a great experience for me, but also very challenging. I went from being surrounded by solid Christian friends and professors here at Hope, being in lots of prayer groups and Bible studies, and going weekly to the gathering and chapel, to really next to nothing. And France is a primarily atheist country, so it was a really dry spiritual time for me, but it really forced me to rely on God in a new way. Now, when I came back, my experience had changed me, but I hadn't experienced any of those changes with my friends back home, so I was kind of feeling a little out of place. And soon after that, I went out on a blind setup and met my now husband of 13 years. We actually met and married in 10 months, which is pretty fast, but God made it clear from the start that he was the one for me. So that resulted in me moving to Ann Arbor, where he was doing medical school, and me starting a new job. Apparently, while I was gone, I lost weight because I started to get a lot of comments about how great I looked. Things like, "Wow, Jen, you look great. Like, what happened while you were gone? I mean, did you lose weight? What happened?" And I kept thinking, "Oh, what I used to look like. I didn't think I looked that bad, but those comments made me feel like I must have." The people pleaser in me thought, "Well, I better not gain any weight." So I tried not to gain. Trying not to gain resulted in me restricting, which quickly turned into a rapid 40-pound weight loss in just a few months. Because of all these stressful events in my life, feeling out of place when I came back, some changes with my friends, falling in love and getting married, this new body image insecurity, starting a new job, living in a new city, I developed an eating disorder. And as you can see, the eating disorder became a coping mechanism for me in dealing with my stress. I had learned so much in my spiritual walk here at Hope, but it was in a relatively controlled environment. So when things started spinning out of control, I clung to what I knew, people-pleasing. But this time it didn't work out like before because my husband didn't respond like my parents did. So my husband's kind of a glass half empty kind of guy. So for example, if I had a list of 10 things to do and I did 9, my parents would have responded like, "Oh, great job, we're so proud of you." Whereas my husband would say, "Well, what about number 10? Why didn't you get number 10 done?" Now, whether he meant it or not, that communicated to me, "You failed." I so wanted to please my husband because I was afraid if I failed him and didn't please him, that he wouldn't love me. And if he didn't love me, that he would leave me. Can you see the lies that Satan was feeding me? That I was a failure, that I wasn't worthwhile, that I would be abandoned, that the way I looked wasn't pleasing, that it was all my fault. Lie after lie after lie. But I bought into those lies because my world was spinning out of control and I didn't know what to do. So imagine me 40 pounds lighter than I am now. Quite frankly, I looked skeletal. All the positive comments I'd received along the way about how great I looked had long since stopped. But was I happier now that I was thin? Far from it. It's like the great betrayal, because you think you'll just get happier the thinner you get, because that's what the media tells us, right? Well, that definitely didn't happen. I knew I was too thin, but I was overwhelmed and afraid to gain any weight back. I felt trapped again, and I just didn't know how to change things. My husband intervened. I wasn't happy about it, but he really shed light on the darkness that was enveloping me. As a people pleaser, I was crushed to think that I may have hurt him and other loved ones through all this. That was the last thing I wanted to do. So I was motivated to get help and get better. I was fortunate to get connected with a treatment team who would walk me through this journey. And in that time, I did get better. Well enough to get pregnant and have 2 healthy kids, but I was always getting better for someone else, first for my husband, and then for my kids. By now, my weight was restored, and physically I looked okay, but my eating disorder still consumed my thought life. And then one day, my treatment team said, "Well, this might be as recovered as you'll ever be." I thought, really? It's not gone. They just said, "Well, eating disorders are something that you just have to manage the rest of your life. They don't actually go away." Ooh, this was devastating to me. I felt like if there was no hope to be free, why keep trying so hard to be well? So I stopped trying so hard, and I relapsed. Now I had 2 kids who demanded most of my energy, and a husband who worked all the time and couldn't deal with going through all this again. So there I was, hopeless, depressed, alone. But that is when God stepped in most powerfully. And in my prayers of desperation, God spoke to me and proclaimed, "This is not who I created you to be. I created you for so much more." And over a 1-week period, God revealed to me the lies that had been keeping me captive. From then on, the chains were gone. God had set me free and my eating disorder ceased. No more thoughts, no more obsession. It was over. But God didn't stop there. All of these lies were hard for me to face. I felt guilt and shame for having thought them, for having believed them. I feared people wouldn't love me when they saw the ugliness in my heart. But that was just another lie, because God says there is therefore no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. The more I obeyed God by sharing my brokenness and my shame, the greater the healing and freedom in my life. So my question to you today is, are you more worried about what others think or about what God thinks? Are you in a situation today where you feel hopeless Is there something that's keeping you captive? I want you to know that there is hope. God wants to set you free. He did it for me. I know he'll do it for you. So I challenge you to go to God today and lay it all down and ask him to set you free from your captivity. Now I'm going to be available down front if anyone wants to talk or pray afterwards. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are a God of freedom and that we can come to you and lay down our brokenness, our ugliness, our shame, all at your throne. And there you offer us in return grace, mercy, forgiveness, and freedom. I pray that you would reveal the lies that are keeping any of your children captive in this room today and set them free in Jesus' name. Jehovah, to you be all the glory and the honor and the praise.